This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's show, you'll hear highlights from our special Christmas program, which aired earlier this week. Now here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Bethlehem is where it all started. When the Apostle John talks about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, this is where it happened, where the light of the world made his entrance. We hear and read a lot about Bethlehem this time of year, but being under Palestinian control, Bethlehem has become a darker place, a place where Christians are under constant attack and even have to fight to be recognized. First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, under the leadership of Pastor Dame Corey, has been bombed 14 times. Pastor Corey himself has been shot 3 times. The Palestinian Authority has refused the right of his church to be recognized as a religious institution, which means all of their paperwork is seen as illegitimate, meaning birth certificates, marriage certificates. This is a real problem. And the Palestinian Authority, in part, is funded by dollars that come from the United States. These are real issues to Christians living there in the city of Bethlehem. And joining me now is the pastor of First Baptist Church there in Bethlehem, a good friend and someone who I have tremendous respect for, Pastor Name Corey. Pastor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Brother Tony, and it's a great privilege to be in your program.
Well, let me say Merry Christmas to you as you sit there in Bethlehem, and we were with you just about a month ago, and as you were preparing for Christmas. This is kind of an exciting time of year there in Bethlehem, is it not?
Yes, sure is. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners, and I think it's a very exciting time to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the city of Bethlehem.
You know, 2,000, as I mentioned, a little over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, his parents, Joseph and Mary, there was no room for them in the inn. And there are many today in the Palestinian Authority that really find no room for the followers of Jesus there in Bethlehem. The demographics have shifted radically in Bethlehem over the last 50 years to where the Christian population has dwindled significantly.
Yes, that's true, and we've seen a lot of changes, a lot of immigration from the Christian sides in Bethlehem, going abroad. Used to be Bethlehem before 1967, almost 80-85% Christian, nominal Christians, and today it's less than 10% Christians, and that's really a very, very sad story, and us, we are in Bethlehem today, and it's under so much pressure and stress to be able to expose our belief and spread our belief and give the right message about the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what Christmas is all about. It's not Santa Claus, it's not a snowman, it's not the lights, it's not the decorated tree. That's fine, that's nice. But the most important thing, people need to understand who Jesus is, why he came to this earth. And that's why we are finding a very, very difficult as evangelical, Bible-believing, in this land to be able to express our belief and opinions.
And I want to talk about that, Pastor Corey, but first, I want to give our listeners the benefit of what I have learned as I've gotten to know you over the last 3 years. I want them to hear a little bit about your story, because you're actually a Palestinian who came to know Christ, and as you continue there in Bethlehem, sharing the gospel, seeing Palestinians come to know Christ, to those leaving the Muslim faith, coming to become Christians. That's in part what makes your church controversial, but you're also a supporter of Israel.
Yes, we do believe, I do believe personally, in the covenant of God with Abraham. And it means that the promises of God to Abraham, it's an everlasting promise, it's forever and ever and ever, and no one can change it, no one can erase it, and no one can replace it. And in very simple English, there is no such replacement theology in the Word of God. And that's why believing in the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, the 39 books as the infallible, inspired Word of God, that added more problems and difficulties for us to believe that the whole Bible, 66 books, infallible, inspired Word of God.
That makes you kind of controversial there in Bethlehem, does it not?
Sure does, because most of people here, they don't really consider the Old Testament as the whole Old Testament is inspired Word of God or God's Word. They consider it a Jewish book, history book, and all of that, but, you know, we believe from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 as the inspired, infallible Word of God.
Pastor Corey, your church has been bombed. You yourself have been shot. But your church is having an impact because you're preaching the gospel to a hungry people. And not only are you defending Israel, that's only a part of it, but the real part of it that I would assume that the Palestinian Authority is not happy with is that people are coming to know Christ.
Yes, we do preach the Word of God, and we give the clear message about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's the only Savior, He's the only way to heaven. And because of that, we've been facing a lot of opposition, a lot of difficulties in this part of the world.
And folks, I'd encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over to First Baptist Church in Bethlehem. And you can actually support Pastor Corey and their ministry there at the First Baptist Church in reaching Palestinians for Christ and being a witness there in Bethlehem. Pastor Corey, thanks so much for being with us, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you.
All right. That was Dr. Naeem Corey, First Baptist Church of Bethlehem, Israel. Still to come, Congressman Robert Aderholt joins me right after the break. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
We are grateful for the men and women who are defending our great country. Many of our soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen have risked their lives so we can remain free. Free to speak our minds, free to associate, free to practice our faith as we see fit. But these same men and women are facing threats to the very freedoms that they're protecting. Many members of our military are motivated by a deep and abiding Christian faith. Their faith is not merely an add-on, but the foundation and motivation for their sacrifice. Some of them are facing pressure to abandon that faith, to hide it away, to minimize its uncomfortable implications, or even deny its restorative and hopeful power. We won't stand for that. We believe that their freedoms are worth protecting. To follow this conversation on Facebook or Twitter, find us at #MilitaryFreedom. That's #MilitaryFreedom.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us for this special broadcast of Washington Watch. Merry Christmas. You know, as I mentioned, I had the honor of leading a privately funded congressional delegation to Israel last month in partnership with another organization. And we toured the country's most important religious sites and met with top-level Israeli officials, including the prime minister. We also met with mayors and city council members. We've discussed a lot in the program the great hostility that we've seen toward Christians in the Middle East, especially those in the Palestinian occupied territories, and some of the hostility toward the Jewish people and the Israelis as well in these areas that are being funded with U.S. dollars. And that was one of the issues that was at the forefront of our trip, some of the things we discussed while we're there in Israel. Well, joining me now is is Congressman Robert Aderholt. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Alabama, and he was actually the ranking member on this trip. He is also a member of the Helsinki Commission, a cooperation of 56 countries around the world that together monitors human rights in Europe and Central Asia. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Oh, well, Tony, it's always good to be with you. And as you mentioned, we had a great trip to Israel few weeks ago, and it was an honor for me to have a chance to be with you and your wife and the other members that were able to join us, and just really to see what, you know, a different side of Israel. I had been to Israel before on a few other occasions through mainly through congressional visits, and we were on their fact-finding missions, but this was so different. This was a trip to really just have a chance to meet with the leaders there on the local level as well as on the national level, as you mentioned, Netanyahu. We had a chance to sit down and meet with him, but also these mayors in West Bank, and it was just a really a great trip, and I'm thankful to have opportunity of going to have traveled there with you and the rest of the group.
Well, Congressman Adderholt, as I've talked about on the program here, the purpose behind that trip, as you said, it's different than some of the other trips that the Congress has gone on. This was, as I mentioned, a privately funded trip. But let me ask you this question: as you were there, what were some of the takeaways? What were some of the highlights of your time there in Israel?
Well, as I mentioned, I had been to Israel actually several times. I've been through the region, either going through some other place in the Middle East or just on my way to some other region. But this was the most time that I have ever spent in Israel itself. I think we were there for about 7 days total, and having a chance to really not only just go to Jerusalem, which is mainly when people, if you go to Israel, especially when you're there for meetings, you're usually there in Israel or Tel Aviv just for official meetings and you're out. But have a chance to go up to Tiberias, to go up and to the West Bank, going and seeing the Iron Dome, and having a chance to see parts of the country that's normally not on what people would consider the tourist area or what is considered the area that for just an official meetings was really, I think, one of the highlights of the meetings. But also you come across, when you go across Israel and when you travel the land there, you realize how small Israel is,
mm-hmm.
and how vulnerable Israel is to attacks from all the way around. And that's why it is so important that the United States of America stand with Israel. You know, in some areas you could literally be standing on top of some elevated mountain and look over and see Lebanon, or we could see Syria and Jordan, and you realize it's not that far, and to shoot rockets over into Israel to attack them is really not that difficult. So you come back with the feeling that, you know, when you're talking about the proximity of the enemy, that those that would want to destroy Israel, you just see how imminent it is and how important it is for us to stand as a nation with the country of Israel and let the other people in the region know that we believe the form of government that Israel has, and that because it stands for freedom, and that you know, we believe this is an important area. This area has been very important to God from the very beginning, and mm-hmm. Because of that, we you know, we want to make sure that the United States of America doesn't turn its back on Israel.
Going back, I mentioned Bethlehem. Obviously, this time of year, a focal point of a lot of songs, as well as, you know, we see the manger scenes that are in homes and churches across the nation as we celebrate the birth of Christ. Well, we went to Bethlehem, and we went to First Baptist Church of Bethlehem. Now, this the population there, the demographics have shifted in the last 20 years to where it's between 85, I think, and 90% is Muslim. Very few Christians, but some Palestinian Christians. And they're really suffering discrimination at the hands of the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah, that's what is really sad to see is how that the Palestinian Authority not only... Well, anybody that opposes anything that they do, that, you know, they will attack and they will discriminate against them. And of course, the pastor there at First Baptist Church, who we met with, who I think who is on your show, has explained a lot what they have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
After as a follow up and meeting with the pastor there. Myself and Congressman McIntyre from North Carolina, we got on a Skype, a phone call with the pastor and his son to see what we could do from the congressional standpoint, is trying to see from the Helsinki Commission, known as OSCE, Organization for Security and Cooperation of Europe, and see if there's something that we can work with the OSCE to try to, you know, let it be known that it's that discrimination for against the Christians there is not appropriate, and that that we need to stand strong against that. So we're looking at some options of how we can do that and to send a message to the Palestinian Authority. And let me just say another thing too is the Palestinian Authority also uses a lot of the Palestinians in a negative way too. You know, as you know, just because they're Palestinian doesn't mean they're bad people.
Right.
And just meeting the Christians there, there's a lot of they're not Jewish, they're Christians.
Right.
But yet they're Palestinians. But but the Palestinian Authority and so many of those that would want to cause turmoil in the entire region use those people really to in a way that just they try to further their own purposes and at their expenses, and so
absolutely
that's why I think you know it's important that we realize that it's the people behind the Palestinian Authority that's where the problem is,
right? And, not the Palestinian people,
right.
Themselves. You're
exactly,
because
right.
As you said, and it was interesting about, and of course, it had Pastor Curry has been on, but he is a strong supporter of Israel, and
he makes no bones about it. He will tell you straight up that he is very supportive of Israel, and because of that, because of his strong stand for Israel, that's why he is discriminated against. And I think we need to stand with him, as we need to stand with all Palestinians that are discriminated against, and
who want peace, who recognize the right of Israel to exist, and want peace between the two peoples. You know, and that's that. But that's where the problem with the Palestinian Authority, they refuse to recognize the right of Israel to exist. Congressman, we're out of time, but thanks so much for spending some time with us right before Christmas to share your thoughts on Israel. And have a merry, merry Christmas.
Thanks, Tony, and all you and your family and listeners. I wish all of you the very best Christmas, and hope to be with you in the near future.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming right back.
Your Congress is at it again, considering the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, or ENDA. It sounds innocent enough, no one's in favor of discrimination, but ENDA actually proposes a form of discrimination, one that would force businesses to make hiring, firing, and promotion decisions not based on a person's qualifications, but on their sexual expression. Outspoken homosexuals, cross-dressers, and transgendered workers would automatically qualify for special treatment that other workers would not. In reality, ENDA would force Christian employers to ignore or allow immoral and problematic behavior in their preschools, summer camps, schools, and businesses, or face litigation. As one hair salon owner testified, the government can force her to hire transgendered employees, but it can't force customers who are uncomfortable with them to come into her salon. ENDA is not the way to go. To find out more, visit frc.org/ENDA.
Wish you were in D.C. so you could attend all the exciting FRC events? Now you can be. FRC University provides anyone access to all past lecture events from anywhere. Experts from many fields, including professors, members of Congress, policy analysts, and pastors, give their analysis of today's cutting-edge issues. FRC professionally archives each of these events and provides a link to them through the FRC University webpage. Wondering about the most recent Supreme Court term? Check out Ken Klukowski's analysis of the most important cases. Want to hear an inspiring story of the power of the gospel? Listen to Dr. Rosaria Butterfield's journey from being a lesbian professor at Syracuse University to a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, transformed and serving him as a pastor's wife. These exciting events, and many others, can be accessed at www.frc.org/university.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch as we move closer to Christmas. That's right. Taking kind of a deeper look at my recent trip to Israel. You know, it was in Bethlehem, right there where it all began. Mm-hmm. And now kind of unpacking it as we look more toward answering the question, how can we take action to show support for Israel? And you might be surprised at this, but there's no shortage of opportunities. My next guest, I actually met on the Mount of Blessing in Israel, yeah, where he and his family were picking grapes. They have been a part of restoring the vineyards to Israel. And Tommy has taken on the mission to restore Israel through support of small business farmers in the heartland of Israel. Tommy Waller is my guest. Tommy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, Tommy, first, you know, you and I have met first a couple of years ago, then just recently back in November when I was in last month when I was in Israel. And you're back in the States now. You go over there for the harvest period, I understand. You go over, take your whole family over for about 6 weeks?
Yes, yes. We started this about 10 years ago. And I guess nothing is accidental in our world, in our world of faith. But I was there on actually joining some men on a business trip about 10 years ago. And just long for the ride. And the Lord had something very special for me there. At the time, I was farming, actually, in Tennessee. And through a friend of a friend, he brought me to that very place that we were at just a few weeks ago, Mount of Blessing, Mount Gerizim. This religious Jewish man, who we don't see a lot of those here in the hills of Tennessee, but I did meet this man here who was doing vineyards in the mountains of Samaria, and he opened his Tanakh, his Old Testament Bible, and he read to me the scriptures from Jeremiah that said that in that day, that the Jeremiah 31, in that day, that there would be vineyards planted on the mountains of Samaria. Hmm. And I was, at that point, was really just blown away, because for me, the physical, to be able to touch the Word of God in that physical way was really mind blowing to me. It was a wow experience, and to be there also with a Jewish man who also the prophet said would come back to the land of Israel was life changing. And I immediately just said, "What can I do? How can I help you? I want to be involved in this." And that was 10 years ago. This year, we were able to bring 300 volunteers from around the world to that mountain, and we were able to harvest some 420 tons of grapes, and we're living in that place. We're seeing prophecy become reality. It's amazing. It's an amazing time that we live in. It's hard to almost describe the thrill and the wonder that we're getting as we go to the mountains and see these things happening. And it was such a blessing to have you there and the delegation that was there with you to come there, because as you know, these mountains, these places where the irrevocable promises of God are being kept. There's a struggle in the world today for legitimacy and for credibility, and we see just a real intense battle for these places, and for you and the delegation to come there meant so much to the people that are living there and risking their lives actually to set their homes up there.
Well, it was a thrill for us, Tommy, to see those hills, those mountains, with the vines or the grapes that you had just picked, and not just any grapes. I want to get into that in just a moment, but I do want to, for the benefit of our listeners, again, we've talked about this, but we're talking about the eastern portion of Israel, Samaria, the areas that's often described as settlements by the media here in the United States. But these are Jewish communities that are thriving and, as you said, fulfilling biblical prophecy. Now, let me move on, Tommy, because these are not just any grapes. These are grapes that in and of themselves are fulfilling biblical prophecy, because The wine that was produced from those grapes, and please, my good Baptist friends, don't be offended here. but the reality is, this is award-winning, is it not?
Right. It is amazing. Since we started just 10 years ago, all of the wineries that are producing the wines there are winning international competitions on these hills. Now, let me back up just a second, because the agricultural experts, the wine experts, when these religious Jews came to them and asked them, okay, how do we do this? Because you understand, this is also the miracle. These people were not farmers. They came from different parts of the world, and most of the Jewish communities around the world were not farmers. They were gathered in big cities because of their synagogues and communities. They had to be around that. So they weren't out in the agricultural environments. When they came to Israel, they became farmers. So you're talking people, this is the frustrating part of the world, and one of the miracles that is, you know, evident to us especially, is that these people are winning these international competitions and wine competitions up against people that have been, you know, 10 generations of wine makers. And these guys are still looking at the instruction books to find out what to do next, you know.
It is amazing. But again, it's the unfolding of biblical prophecy.
Exactly. It's more than just, you know, it's not how they're doing it. It's the God of Israel producing these things that obviously we can only expect that the prophecies in Joel and the prophecy in Amos that talk about the wine coming back to the mountains of Israel. We can only expect that wine would be some of the best wine in the whole world. And the other thing too is that Yeshua said that in that Last Supper at Passover, he said, I'll not drink this cup again. This is from my Father's vineyard. I'll not drink this cup again until we drink it again in the kingdom. And I want to just say that I don't believe that that's going to be California wine. I don't believe it's going to be wine from South America or South
even
Africa.
French.
From France, I don't believe it. I believe that we are producing and enabling and helping the Jewish people bring the wine for this great feast.
Tommy, we're out of time. This has been great to have you on the program. Next time you're in D.C., I want you in studio because I want to talk more about this.
Yes, I would love to do that.
Thank you
love
so much, Tommy,
Thank
for being
you, Tony.
Here. Folks,
all right.
Folks, we're out of time, but I want to encourage you, have a great Christmas, and just remember the words of the Apostle Paul. Keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.